Welcome, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Pastor Trey and Shannon and Levi are on their September vacation, and they're out there enjoying the goodness of God. They deserve a day. They deserve the week, you know. How many of y'all like to take a little time off from time to time? Only about half of you. All right. The rest of y'all that don't take time off, we got some extra chores around here. We need somebody to do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What have we been talking about in these series that we've been in? Love. How many of y'all could, oh, that's good, Holy Spirit. Let's sing a song together, okay? It's a simple little song. It's a nursery song. So everybody should know it. And it's the Jesus Loves Me song. How many of y'all know the words? Okay, and the rest of you that don't know the words, if you do this, no one will know, okay? So let's sing that first verse of Jesus Loves Me together and think about these words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen, y'all. That was good. You guys did really, really good. So, you know, I sang that song as a little kid from fifth grade on, and you know what never dawned on me? That Jesus loved me. It never dawned on me because it was a song I was learned. We also had to say grace in my house. How many of y'all say the blessing or grace over meals or taught to do that? I did that every meal of my childhood, and I would say, God is great, God is good, and we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know how much I thought about God? I thought about my food. I didn't think about my God. And it took me until I was in Bible college that those words dawned on me that God is good and God is great. I'll tell you, it's amazing how we can be taught so many things, but it goes in one ear and right out the other. So when I say that we need to really recognize the love of God for us, so many people can say, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But do you really recognize, you personally recognize how much God loves you individually? Just because you exist, not because of anything you've done. Man, I want to read a couple of verses for you. I'm going to go to Revelations 1, chapter 1. And John the Revelator wrote this. Just in the first couple of verses of it, I'm going to read 4, 5, and 6 of Revelations 1, just to kind of set some groundwork here. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's done that for us. Who has sinned in this room and are kind of ashamed of your past a little bit? I am. Do you know what? You can't fix that. It happened. It just did. But he washed us with his blood. And he decided that we were worth it. You know, I often think about Adam and Eve and why did God even let Satan in the garden? You know, why did he even do that? Why didn't we just live forever in that? But I'm realizing that I'm coming from the point of view of being a victim of how somehow I'm going without something, or my life could have been better if he wasn't in it. But you know, the interesting thing is that God says that this time on the earth is only a little tiny speck compared to the glory that we're going to get to experience for all eternity. And you know, God didn't want us to be puppets or robots, that everything was perfect all the time, and then we never know what we're made of. We're only being obedient. But in this, with the devil doing what he did to each and every one of us and the people that we love, it lets us see what we're made of. It lets us see where our focus is at. It lets us see what we believe about God, ourselves, and others. And you would never know who you really, really are unless you got a choice to utterly reject God or utterly love him with everything in you. The fact that he lets you utterly reject him, speak evil of him, and turn your back on him shows how good he is. He wants your love for him to be a choice, not a command. The command he gives us is that we need to love one another. I kind of needed to be told that part. I didn't do it automatically, trust me. It had to take some work for me to really start loving the people around me. And some of you might still have trouble with actually loving the people around you, let alone your enemies. Let's not even go there. That's going to take even more work. Amen. But each one of us. But God said, Jesus said, through John, that he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. He made you a king and a priest. He washed you clean. So that right now, anything you've ever done cannot separate you from the love of God. No thought, no experience, nothing you've done has the power to take you out of God's love. Nothing. But how often do we think about this? How often do we take the time to really experience God's love? If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to look at something with you. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays a prayer. I love this prayer. And sometimes we can just kind of read for the significant parts instead of all of it. And I want to focus, I'm going to read the whole thing, 14 through 20, and then I'm going to come back and look at a couple of things. Are you with me? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Do you know, this is a prayer to the family of God, whose name has God's name. You're part of God's family. You're of the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. We are forever going to be together. Forever. And sometimes we look at life as this temporary 80, 90, 100 years that we're on the planet instead of for all eternity. Not yet, Lord. I've still got more time. Look what it says here, that 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? Think about it. To really be rooted in something, to really be grounded in something, what does that mean to you? Established. How about immovable? Once you do the foundation of a building, it's pretty much set there, isn't it? When a tree gets rooted into the ground, it's pretty much decided, this is my spot, right? And we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Another thing is the trees. The trees absorb the nutrients through the soil, right? And then you know the kind of tree it is by the fruit that it bears, yes or no? Yes. And we're commanded or told that we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in us, yes? So what's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? Anyone that reads? Oh boy, you guys got that one quick. Amen. Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And God is asking us to be rooted in his love. And as we are rooted in God's love, then the nutrients of love is what's going to fill us with the life that we have in us, right? And then the fruit will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who is manifesting through us. What's fruit? It's the manifestation of the thing, whatever it is. So the more we spend time with the Holy Spirit and identify with the Holy Spirit, and the more we're taught and trained by the Holy Spirit, the more we're like him. How many of you all have had parents? How many of y'all had a father and a mother, whether they were present or not? A couple of you. The rest were test tube kids, I think. I don't know. Some of you just won't raise your hand no matter what I ask. I understand. That's cool. I understand. So have you ever heard the old saying, oh, I'm just like my dad, or I'm just like my mom. I didn't even want to be like them, but I turned out just like them, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, when we're rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit, and he's the one teaching us and training us, guess what? You're going to be just like him. So the more time we spend with him, the more he changes us to be like him. Because I'm telling you what, you're designed to mimic what your affections are. You're designed to mimic. You just are. And it says in the Bible in the end that when we see Jesus coming, we will be just like him, because we see him as he is. So in other words, by us just seeing Jesus coming back again, we're going to see ourselves. We're going to see ourselves. So when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, we start becoming like the Holy Spirit, choosing what he chooses, speaks the way he speaks, manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit by being rooted and grounded in his love. So now this love, it looks in verse 18, it says, may be able to comprehend or apprehend, lay hold of, cling to get it for yourself with all the saints, what is the width, length, and depth, and height. You know what that means? That means that God's love is something you have to find out about. He's not just going to dump it on you. You're going to have to find out for yourself about the love of God. You're going to have to dig it out. You're going to have to choose to want to know him more. How many of you have got a little bit of space you can kind of get to know the Lord Jesus a little bit more than you do? Me too. How about Father God? Yeah, him too. And the Holy Spirit. You know, he's with us always, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us, right? Yeah, how many of us live like that's true? A few of you, good. Praise the Lord. Hey, there's no shame in the game. Tell the truth. If you spend time with him, you spend time with him. Don't be ashamed of that. If you don't, we didn't even notice you didn't raise your hand. Amen. So it says that, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This word know, It's the same word as a husband knows his wife. Okay? It even actually, in Thayer's, it actually says that. It uses that other word that I don't think I want to use right now, but even though it's in the Bible. It says, it's an idiom for sexual, you know what, between a man and a woman. So it's to become acquainted with, to know, to understand, perceive, to have knowledge of, to become known, to learn to know, come to know, get a knowledge of, perceived, and feel. So in other words, this is experientially knowing the love of God. Okay, let's think about this a minute, you guys. This means that we can experience God's love in our life. How many of you could maybe say, don't raise your hands on this one, that I don't experience God as much as I think is possible to experience Him? How many of you could experience His love more? Don't raise your hands on this one, guys. Don't raise your hands on any of these. Just want you to think about it. Because He's putting it in your court, not His. It's in your court. So how many of you can say, don't raise your hands again, please, that you've kind of maybe had your mind and your life on other things more than Him? It's possible. And it's also possible that you might say to yourself, well, God is supposed to love me. He's supposed to be the one that manifests to me. He's supposed to. And if He did care, then He wouldn't have let this happen or that happen. And that means your heart is closed off to the love of God. It's like a hose. You know, you got the faucet there, and it takes someone to turn that faucet deliberately and intentionally, turn it to let the water come out. Yes? And so that means we have to turn our hearts and our attention to the Lord for that love to pour out from the inside of us. Where did I say the love of God comes from? The inside of us. So it means we've got to turn our attention to God who lives inside of me and inside of you. Then it says this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, verse 19. So the more that you can actually experience the love of God is to the degree that you're going to be filled with the love of God. Wow. So that doesn't mean that God's going to just and you're going to know His love. It means that you are going to have to be the one that digs it out. You're going to have to be the one that pursues Him. You're going to have to be the one that can start learning how to apprehend and comprehend with all the rest of us the height and depth and length and width of the love of God. How much there really is. It's so vast, but it's as much as you're willing to go for it. He's not withholding Himself from us. So, that means that I have got to do something about it. And you want to know what a big block to the love of God is? All right, forget it. Nobody cares. I'll go on to my next point. Oh, do you? Okay. You don't mind if I tell you what a big block to the receiving the love of God is? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is just huge in blocking the love of God. It really is huge. And we don't realize it. You know, we at Abba House had this teaching just a couple of days ago, on spiritual rebellion. Some people, yeah, all right, spiritual rebellion, yes. It's being reconciled to God. You know, it's appreciating how much or who your mother was. How many of you wish you had a different mom? Don't raise your hands on any of this because your family members might be in the room. But some of us wish we would have had a different mom or a different dad. or lived in a different area, or been different colored skin, or been a different gender, or didn't want to be born into that family, would have rather been born into this other family. Or we wish that, you know, any number of things would have been different in our lives. Because if they were different, then, God, you're a good God, and my life would be good. But because you stacked the deck against me, and these things happened to me, you're not that great of a God. I maybe could have even done a better job than you. We may not say that out loud, but that doesn't mean your hurt is not saying that. And these are the things that we need to really release back to the Lord, because we're looking at it from 80, 90, 100 years on the planet instead of all eternity. Amen? All right. So I'm going to go on just a little bit past this here. So we need, it's up to us to be rooted and grounded in God's love, right? So how do we experience more of God's love? Is probably my question. Read his word, good word. Forgive people that have hurt you or that you have hurt. Worship. Who else? What else? How else can we know more of God's love? What did he say?
Silence.
Sit, be still, and know that I am God. Prayer. Another way. And there's all kinds of prayers, right? There's gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. And there's always, help them, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for them because they're making my life miserable. Fix them, Lord. You know, there's those prayers. Oh, and there's other prayers. Lord, change me, so that I can see them through your eyes, so that I can value them the way you value them. Because of my hurts, I can't see them that way just yet. I keep looking at their shortcomings and their bad habits, and I'm taking it personally. I need you to help me to release them so that I can enjoy them the way you do. There's all kinds of prayers that bring us closer to the heart of God. So, I'm going to take a few minutes and share with you a little bit about the love of God that I've experienced. I do not say this lightly, and I mean it with all the sincerity of my heart, that God will reveal himself to you as much as you will honestly, in integrity, pursue him yourself. Not how much Pastor Trey or myself or anyone else tells you how good God is. All we are is something that might maybe wet your palate just a little bit. Just an hors d'oeuvre. Not enough for a meal, but just enough to get you tempted to maybe go after him yourself a little bit. And when we hear each other's testimonies, we get to hear how God has worked in each other's lives from the way we were, and then when God intervened, how he's changed us. So we get to hear testimonies of that. But I want to let you know, God is a forever God, and he's eternal God, and he's so much more than this world. This is one small dimension that God operates in. There are so many more dimensions and worlds and the vastness that we aren't even able to begin to even try to understand, let alone ask the questions of. It's so much more than that. But we look at things through our little minds and our earthly experiences. And when we get born again, God's saying, I want you to start living according to me now. You got to come as a little child. Everything you understand, put it aside. I need to teach you the new rules, the new way of being, the new way of understanding, the new way of seeing, the new way of hearing. I need to teach you how we do it in the spirit now. You don't know how to do that. But now that I'm your father, I'm going to start teaching you how I do it so that you can deny that old person, that old lifestyle, that old belief system, those old truths that aren't true here in the heavenly realm. They were true for you in the earth, but not with me in the spirit. And so those truths that we believe because we've experienced it in this world, he says, no. My truths supersede yours. And I need you to teach. I need to teach you my truths. So that's why we need to be in our Bible and we need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so I took a few verses literal in the Bible. Go with me to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, near the end of the chapter. It says, oh, this is Luke, that's not John. It says this, I'm going to start in verse 21. I'll start in verse 20. John 14, verse 20. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And it says, at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do you know what? I took that seriously. I took that right at face value. That if I really do put my whole heart into believing the Bible and learning in the Bible what it says, and opening up my heart that I can be in the Father and the Son and they can be in me, that I will do what he tells me to do, his commandments, which his commandments are to love you. He commands me to love you. That's his commandments. I need to love God and love you as myself. In other words, he commands us. This isn't a choice. It's a commandment. Like it is to forgive, you're commanded to forgive and you're commanded to love. That's what his command. I'm saying it again. You don't have a choice. It's a directive it's not negotiable. We have to learn how to really love each other the way God loves us. And how to really embrace his love so that we can love each other. And so I took him seriously and I said, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. But here's what I want. You said you're going to manifest yourself to me. So I need to see you face to face. If you're the Son of God, a real man, and you ascended, and you paid the price for the sin of the whole world, and you're forever King, God, Lord, and I forever will be in heaven, and you will be the ruler of heaven and earth, then I need to meet you. This is what I said. No more games. And I didn't understand, but I said, none of this by faith stuff. I need to actually see you. Now listen, only a hard heart would say that. And I had a very hard heart. I had lived some really horrific things and done some really horrific things, and my heart was very closed. So I needed a 2x4 on the side of my head. That's just what I needed, because he knew I genuinely meant it. And so I set out to find out whatever this Bible says, and I'd do it as the best of my ability. But I held God, I need to meet you. I need to actually meet you. How many of you need a little bit more of God manifesting than you've been experiencing? I am the same way. And so I prayed. How did I do it? I didn't just say, Lord, I need to meet you and forget about it. You know how you can talk to yourself on the inside? That's what I did. You know how you can easily worry about something in the background of your mind? What are they thinking, Lord? How's that going to turn out? Do I look okay? Am I dressed okay? Is my hair combed? Do they like me? Do they not like me? Are they talking about me? Does my boss going to give me a raise? Does my boss like my performance? Whatever it is, it's always going on back there. I decided instead what I was saying was, Lord, I need to meet you. Lord, I need to see you face to face. Lord, I know you're real. I need to meet you. I need to meet you. And it was going on in the back burner of me all the time. Lord, I need to meet you. What else does it say? Lord, I need to see you. Lord, I want to come to you, or you come to me, however you want to do it. But you said you would manifest yourself to me, and I need to know. Well, lo and behold, says in the Bible, in the Amplified version of Luke, Luke 11, I think it is. Yes, it does. Verse 9. Let's read it together. I'll read it. You read it with me. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. Verse 10. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking, find. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. I believed that. It let me know that it wasn't going to happen just the first time I asked. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I understood I'm going to need to really be consistent about this. I'm going to have to really desire to meet my God. And not just listen to everybody else's story. I needed it to be real for me. And I prayed, and I did that, and I worked my job, and I couldn't wait to get home, and I'd read my Bible, and I'd read other spiritual books. The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee was the one I had at the time. And then it happened. One day, I was wrestling with the Lord about smoking cigarettes and those kinds of things. And I had this girl that I was going out with, and she didn't want to see him anymore because I talked about the Bible so much, and I was like a heretic to her because I believed it. I actually believed what it said. And so she dumped me, and I went, took a couple cigarettes, and I went to this industrial building next to where I lived in Portland, Oregon at the time. And I was pacing back and forth going, God, God, this can't be, this can't be, this can't be. And I heard this voice in my head, and it said, forget about this God stuff. Go out, do a few lines. Go to the bars. You can get any girl you want. Forget about this God stuff. You know, I would have, that sounded pretty good right about then, except the problem was, it wasn't my voice. It was a voice I'd never heard before, and that scared me bad. And so I took off running home. Why home? I don't know, but I did. And these spiritual eyes started opening, and my natural eyes started closing, and I found myself in darkness. And then when I got before, on my bed, I laid on my bed with a little Bible thinking, I'm going to die right now. God is mad at me for asking to see him face to face, and I am going to die. And I was scared to death that I was going to die. And I was laying on my bed, and I got to tell you, I was in nothing. No time, no space. No temperature, no substance, no motion, no nothing. It was zero. It was the absence of everything. And I was suspended in this nothingness. And the power of God was focused right on me. I had his undivided attention. And I am in this total dark place, alone with my own thoughts. And my own thoughts, I can remember the first thing I ever thought all the way to the seconds before this happened. Crystal clear. I can go back and forth on the timeline, and everything I'd ever said, done, experienced in any way was crystal clear to me. And these pictures would come in one at a time, whoosh, in front of me. And he showed me the first truth I ever believed. And he said, this, no more. Whoosh, out it went. I said, yes, yes, please, please, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. I didn't want to stay there. And the next picture comes in, whew, in front of my face. The next truth I believed. You don't decide when you believe something. It just kind of happens to you, you know? You got some information, you make some decisions, and boom, you believe it. And this, he said, this no more. And whew, out it went. I said, yes, 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 please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. And he went through my whole life, and he went through my entire belief system. And when he got to the very end, he said, this no more. And then a Bible appeared before me, and he said, this, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape. And I just learned that word in church a week ago. That means benevolent love, I love you because you exist. You cannot earn it, and you cannot wreck it. I choose to love it, love you. And I said, yes, yes, yes. And whew, that thing went off. And I was thinking, oh, God is powerful. God is all real. And I knew that there was more to this world than met the eye. And that means to enter into God's realm of where he's at, it's different rules completely. I knew in that place that dimensions didn't matter. If you would have taken a photograph of something and torn it in half and separated the two pieces, it's the weirdest thing. I knew that the picture would go from one side. If I tore this in half, it would go from this side and then over to this side. You know, if you got two computer monitors, how you put them connected and then you separate them and the mouse just goes from one right to the other. There's no distance. They're connected, but you can go through them. That's how this world is. God's dimension weaves in and out of this dimension. To us, it's one static line, but not to him. Not to the way he is. We got to learn that. It's different. So then I'm going on in my life and I'm going, Lord, that was awesome. It really changed my life. I got to tell you, there's more to that story, but I don't have enough time. So then I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying for people and I'm growing in the Lord a little bit. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for this guy. And this guy I'm going to pray for, whenever I pray for somebody, you heal him or you do something really fantastic, and I love that. But you know what? I want to see you descending on me, Holy Spirit, as I'm praying for these people. Nobody taught me. I didn't go to church. I learned it from the Bible and me, just spending time there. I didn't have a church. And so I thought, okay, Lord, and so I'm down on my knees like this, and I'm praying, and I'm like this. I'm ready and cocked at any minute to see God as he's descending on me, you know? Nobody told me I couldn't do that, and so I did. And so I'm sitting there cocked, and I'm praying for this guy. His name's Terry, and I'm praying for this guy, and I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, and all of a sudden I hear, clear as bell, you want to see me? Stand. I stood. He says, raise your hands. I raised my hands. As soon as I raised my hands, the room I was in, the whole ceiling disappeared, and I was standing in heaven before Jesus. I was there. There was people, thousands of people on their faces, heads to the ground, arms spread out, silently facing his throne. He's sitting, there's a wall, and built into the wall is a throne built of the same stone as the wall and a long, narrow banner on each side of his throne with a tassel. Each side. I'm at a 45 degree to him. These people are all worshiping the Lord silently there. And he's sitting on this throne looking straight ahead, and I'm over there. And he's just sitting there letting them worship him, letting them lay before his glory. And they were just all there before the Lord. And the presence of God, I got to tell you guys, you know, they say God is love, right? Doesn't it say that in 1 John 4:8? God is love. So that's the truth. But you have no idea. I was standing there with my hands raised. He's sitting there not moving a muscle or looking at me. All these people, thousands of people worshiping him. And these waves were flowing from him. Invisible waves were flowing out of his throne and out of him. And they were washing over me and pulling me, not yet, Lord, and pulling me towards himself. And these waves were love. I have never experienced anything like that before in my life. Listen, this love is beyond any human love. This is God's love. It's undefiled. It's untainted. It's perfect. It fills you. It embraces you. It's thick. It is living itself because God is love. And as these waves are pouring through me, and they're like pulling me towards his throne, I wasn't moving. It was just washing through me, this love. I am bawling like crazy. Just bawling and bawling and bawling and crying. And I said, Lord, 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 You're so holy. You're so holy. I feel like Moses, that your glory is too strong. It's too strong. I need to bow down like everybody else. He answers me and says, you wanted to see me? Stand. It wasn't mean. It's just matter of fact, powerful. He's God. And I stood with my hands raised, and this waves of love were washing me, and I'm bawling and bawling and bawling. And I'm thinking to myself, this is too much. I've got to bow down like everybody else. I just have to. And I bowed down without even thinking, just a response. And as soon as I bowed down, whew, it all disappeared and it was gone. And I said to myself, what have I done? And I stood right back up and raised my hands. Whew, it opened back up again. But it wasn't love coming out of his throne anymore. Same throne, same wall, same banners, same Jesus, same throne, same people. The guy's laying right here at my feet in the most beautiful clothes I've ever seen. I knew that he was on the ground. But when he got up, he would not be dirty. I knew it. You just know. It's different. And these waves now that were coming out of his throne that used to be love were acceptance. These waves of acceptance that just flooded through me. And I thought I was crying so much when I had the love flowing through me. But these acceptance, no one has ever accepted me like this. I've never experienced this kind of, he wants me. Just the way I am. He wants me. I was broken, you guys. I cried from a depth so deep inside of me, I couldn't take it. I just could not take it. And I'm sitting there just praising him and worshiping him. These waves of acceptance are flowing through me. And all of a sudden, this question rose up inside of me that I had always been asking the Lord. You know how in Matthew chapter 7, it says, many are going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not do many wondrous works? And he says, go away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Who are you? And that question was in my heart. Maybe some of you have asked that question too. Does the Lord know me personally? And as that question rose up and he pulled that question out of me, he's sitting on his throne over there. And for the first time, he turns his head and looked right at me. And he nodded his head. Nodded his head. I lost it. He personally acknowledged that he knows me. And I was changed forever from that moment. And I'm just saying, Lord, you're so holy. You're so holy. And I was there long enough in that, you know, your soul, when it gains a little ground, it decides, I'm going to ask God a question now. What question will I ask the Lord of the universe? And no sooner than my mind was trying to formulate a question, he spoke. And he said this to me. He said, you lay aside the weights and the sin that so easily ensnares you. That's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, you guys. 12, 1 and 2. And he told me that because I still had some bad habits. I still was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. But I loved God, and I wanted to know God. I just hadn't been cleaned up quite all the way yet. Still some work to do on me. And he told me, you lay it aside. Don't wait for me to do it. He said, you lay it aside. Some of you can probably say the same thing. Yes, Lord. So then I'm talking in my heart, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you have to come back with me so that you can tell everybody who you are and they can meet you and see you like I'm seeing you right now. And this is what he said to me. Totally caught me off guard. He said, I have come to man. Now man must come to me. How about that one, you guys? He's already come, the Son of God, as a man on the earth to show and to teach us what our Heavenly Father is like. And He bore my sin. He bore the shame that I caused in His blood on that tree. He removed any stain of anything that could say that I'm unworthy to come into the presence of God. He took it out of the way. I've got no excuse. There's nothing that can be named that has the power to separate you from the love of God. Paul has a nice little story in Romans chapter 8 of all the different things. None of them count. None of it. Because God decided Satan was in the garden. He robbed them of this life. That's my responsibility. So I'm going to go and make it up to them. I'm going to come as one of them and go through what they have to go through. Suffer what they've had to suffer. So that I really know when they come to me what they've had to deal with. So that I can honestly be there for them and intercede for them and mediate for them. And I'm going to pay for all the things that have been against them because it wasn't their fault. They were deceived. So I'm going to make it right so that each one of them has full access to me. So they can know that I am love and that I love and accept them unconditionally. And because He did that, we can come to Him. And He can make that statement, I have come to man, now man must come to me. And each one of us have the access to God to the degree that you want to pursue Him. You can't say your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, my color, my gender, my age, my worth on this planet, what I've lived through, what I didn't get to experience. None of that can stop you from knowing God Himself. So I put it to you guys. We're all going to give an account for how we spend our days on the earth. I would encourage you to pursue your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, I'm going to finish with this. Romans chapter 5. Romans 4:25. Let's do that. The last verse in Romans 4 and then 5. And I'll finish with this. If you guys can give me 3 more minutes, is that all right? Nobody dares says, no, I got to go. I got lunch plans, man. Come on, give me a break. You've been here long enough. You should have got it done it by 12, okay? Romans chapter 5. I just want to finish verse 4, chapter 4, verse 25, and then we'll go into 5. So it goes Romans 5. Here it is. So look at this verse. I'm going to jump right into it. It's Abraham was considered righteous because by faith he believed God's promises. And he didn't look at the world or his own body saying he's too old or Sarah's too old, but he got that child, the child of promise, by not wavering and believing God was faithful to perform what he said he would do. And so he did that. And look what it says in verse 25. This is Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. That word justification right there translates out as acquittal. You know what an acquittal is? When you're acquitted of a crime, you're not guilty. You're found innocent. So the devil can say, they did this, 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 and this, 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 and just give this huge list of everything you're guilty of. You know what you do? Keep your mouth shut. You've been acquitted of all of the charges. You've been justified. Justified like the margin of a book. You know, all the sentences are all squirrely, but when they justify it, they all line up on the page. Your life has been straightened out by God. It's been straightened out by God. It's justified. And so because of that, look what it says in chapter 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. The word grace is charis. You know, the word about, you know, we always say undeserved, unmerited favor, but it's even more than that. This grace that Jesus gave to us is God's divine influence in our hearts. God personally influencing your heart and its manifestation in the world around you, its reflection in your life. So as God changes you on the inside, it'll change on the outside. That's his grace. And it says, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And you guys have heard my testimony about we are going to be like day stars that are going to rise. The brightness of his glory is going to come out of you like a shining sun. And you're going to be transformed in a twinkling. I'm telling you, it's going to be the most glorious thing. Any troubles you're going through now are going to be so worth it when you see who you're transformed to, who God says you really are. And it says, the glory of God, verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations or troubles produce perseverance, that steadfast consistency, its stick-to-itiveness, it's hanging in there, and this, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So these troubles that we get perfect who we are. Now hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's Holy Spirit has been poured out into your heart. So as we look forward to what God has for us, the troubles that we go through, the things that we go through, I'm telling you, hang in there, trust God, believe God, and move through it. Don't try to stop it or ignore it. Move through it. And as you move through it in faith, you'll see the reward. You'll see the reward. Amen. I love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for your Bible. I thank you for your love for us, Lord, that each one of us may experience your love on a deeper way, apprehend and comprehend, Lord, the depth and the height and the length and the width of your love, that we can be filled with all the fullness of you, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would transform us from the inside out as we renew our minds and lay down those things that you find offensive, that we can come into your full presence and glory, Lord. Lord, let us see the way you see the people around us, that we can love with your love the people around us, that it would be said, Father, that we are the disciples of God, and they know it by the love that we have for one another. Let you be glorified through us in Jesus' name. Amen.